Grace Presbyterian, you who are loved by God and called to be saints, would you please turn with me to our passage this morning, which is Psalm 1. We begin this summer a series looking and working our way through the Psalter. And so we find in this very first psalm acting like a gateway to everything else that comes after it. In fact, Psalms 1 and 2 belong together. If you note the very beginning of Psalm 1, blessed is the man, you note at the very end, verse 12 of Psalm 2, blessed are all those who take refuge in him. They're meant to be read together. Well, we're simply looking this morning at Psalm 1, the first of the two gateway psalms that introduce us to some of the major themes. And here we find in Psalm 1 that teaches us the theme of the way of happiness. And as I preach through this word, our lesson is to delight in the fulfillment of the law, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Before I ask you to stand and hear the word of the Lord, let me offer a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, our God, as your Spirit is the source of inspiration for the written word, we ask for the same Spirit to illumine our understanding. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word? Psalm 1, listen to the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. How do you live life at its fullest? How do you live at peace with God, with each other, and with yourself? How do you flourish? That is the concern that's raised in this very first psalm. And he raises that concern by introducing two images. Two images that are to contrast two ways of life. The first image is the image of a tree. This is a tree that is planted. It is a tree that is nourished. It is a tree that bears fruit. It is a tree whose leaf does not wither. And we are told in verse 1 that this tree, which is to be an image of the blessed man, is one in which this man is flourishing. He enjoys the benefits of life. In fact, that word blessed there is also translated as happy. This is the happy life. This is the life of flourishing. And when you consider that this psalm was written during or in the midst of the arid climates of the Middle East, this is a powerful image to convey the flourishing of life. It's a position that's to be desired. That's one way. And the psalmist goes to contrast that image with the other way, using now the image of chaff. Chaff that the wind drives away. You can imagine when farmers would winnow grain at harvest time, they would toss it into the air. What would happen to the lightweight chaff? It would blow away with the wind. It had no roots. And because it had no roots, it could not bear fruits either. And so the Psalter begins with this, with these two images, these two ways of life. And that's his major concern. For those who are hearing the word, which of these two ways do we really think is the way in which we will find happiness, the way in which God's people will flourish? And so as the Psalter sets before us these two ways of life, the way of the tree or the way of the chaff, let's look at what he says about the way of the tree. What is the way of the tree? The Psalter begins, interestingly, by telling us what is not the way of the tree. Blessed is the man, he says, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, who stands not in the way of sinners, who sits not in the seats of scoffers. So to understand who is this blessed man, to understand what is this way of the tree that flourishes, the Psalter begins by saying, well, this is the way that it's not. And if you notice, there's a progression to these actions. It is not one who walks, not one who stands, not one who sits. There's a progression there from walking to standing to sitting. And the whole point of that progression is to emphasize the idea of the wicked, of the godly, of the scoffer, who becomes settled in life. Right? You walk around, you're really not settled. You're just going around. Compared to one who stands, you're starting to stand in place. And you move now to now sitting. You've become settled in this way of life. And that way of life is the way, he says, of the wicked, the way of sinners, the seat of scoffers. In a way, all of these words describe the same kind of person, but it's that last phrase or that last word, the scoffers. We're told in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, that the Lord scorns the scoffers, but gives grace to the humble. That phrase hopefully sounds familiar in James chapter 4, verse 6, and in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 is picked up, that God hates the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So the Psalter begins by saying, here is the blessed man, here is the tree that flourishes. And he's not like this. Ultimately, what it comes down to, he's not prideful. There's a saying, be careful of the company you keep. Bad counsel becomes bad action, which becomes bad habits, such as sneering condescension toward everyone else. Look at that progression. They're hearing the counsel of the wicked. They're going that way, and now they've become settled in this way of pride. And it begins simply with counsel. 1 Corinthians, Paul warns the church, bad company ruins good morals. As the Psalter begins this way, by describing what this blessed man, this tree that flourishes, does not do, verse 2 tells us what he does. What does this blessed man do? What does this tree do? And there's three things. One, the blessed man, or the way of the tree, is the way that meditates. In fact, he meditates day and night, number two. And lastly, he also delights. When it says that he meditates, it's a word that means he murmurs or he whispers. Let me give you an illustration of what meditation looks like. It looks like a cow chewing its cud. Eats the grass, chews the grass, swallows, and then regurgitates. Chews it more, swallows, and the process goes on, until it produces sweet milk. That's the idea of the blessed man. And what he chews, what he swallows, what he brings back forth again is the law of the Lord. And when it says the law of the Lord, yes, the commandments of God, but expand it to the promises of God. Expand it to the Word of God. Expand it to the stories. Expand it to the wisdom of God. All of that is what the blessed man, the tree that flourishes, chews upon. It swallows and brings it back up. It becomes a part of his life. As he meditates on this, notice it also says he meditates on it day and night. It's a daily plan. It's his daily duty to strengthen every other duty. By meditating on this law, meditating on the Word of God, it's like oil to a machine. It's what helps the man to flourish. Lastly, he delights in the law of the Lord. Here's the blessed man who not only meditates, does these actions, does these behaviors constantly, but actually takes pleasure, enjoys the Word of God. And where does that lead? What does that produce? Well, what does it produce in the cow that chews its cud? It produces sweet milk. Notice in verse 3. It leads to this man who is now nourished. He's planted by streams of water. It leads to this blessed man who is also bearing fruit, who yields its fruit in its season. That's a key phrase there. In its season. It's a reminder to those of us who hear this psalm that the fruit is not always in season. There is a season for the fruit, but we're kind of foolish to think that every season it always bears fruit. All right? Sometimes there are seasons of patience. Sometimes there are seasons of courage. It bears its fruit in its season. That fruit is not immediately useful. That fruit is not always noticeable. So I want you to notice what the psalmist is saying. What is the way of flourishing? What is the way of the blessed man? It is the way of meditating. It is the way of meditating day and night. It is the way of delighting in the law of the Lord. And I want you to return to that action of delighting. It's one thing to meditate on the law of the Lord. There's something different, isn't there, when we delight in something? Because you're not just talking about an action. When you delight in something, it's a heart attitude. You enjoy something. It's the kind of delight that the Apostle Paul says about the law of the Lord in Romans chapter 7, verse 22. He has in his inner being, Paul says, delight in God's word. So here is the blessed man who not only has these particular actions, but he actually enjoys it. Don't you think that is the most difficult thing? If we understand the law of the Lord as commandments, how many of you delight in a rule? My father is here this morning. He can attest that when he told me to do something, my response was rarely delight. I don't think for any of us, when we have a rule in front of us, that the response is, yay! Our response is more like drudgery. Again? Because we have an independent streak about us. We don't like being told what to do. We like having things our way. And we think that if we just have things our way, that we can therefore get happiness. And so when a law comes along and we're told, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, that's just a straitjacket to our happiness, isn't it? Doesn't God's law just confine me? How is this the way of happiness? And this is what we find happening all around us today, which is nothing new, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What we find happening all around us today is which ways in which people continually try to break off the shackles of some overarching law of God. We take the example of just even a natural order of what it means to be male and female. No, we can be whatever we want. It's our desire, our preference, our will. That is what's in charge, and that's what's center. Because you're in charge. And we think that this is the way to flourish. That this is the way to happiness. Is it? I came across a recent study by the Heritage Foundation that shows how puberty blockers and other drugs, they significantly elevate suicide rates. We don't hear about that very often. But as this article, Jay Green, shows, is that despite the claims that this way will reduce suicide, they're actually increasing the rates. Because we think God's law is a drudgery. It confines us. Now, on the one hand, we think it can confine us, right? It's drudgery. On the other hand, we can have another response. To God's law, we can despair. We may not cast it off, but we hold it up and we despair. What do I mean? Well, the word blessed here, when you translate it in Latin, is translated as the word beatitude. You hear beatitude and your mind rushes right to the Sermon on the Mount. And then you start reading the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever read the Sermon on the Mount all the way through without stopping and really thought about what Jesus is saying? How he ends in Matthew chapter 5, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Are you? This isn't the law being drudgery. This is the law coming at you, and our response is despair. It cuts right to the heart. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, and our response is either drudgery or despair. And they're actually the same. They're the same because they're both focused on you. And they both have the same response, which is throw it off. Why would I want something in my life that only brings despair? And yet the psalmist says, the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. How do you do that? You delight in the law of the Lord when you realize that this psalm is not ultimately about you. That's how. The language of Psalm 1 echoes the opening of Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, the Lord commissions Joshua to take his place of leadership and lead the people into the land of Canaan. And the Lord instructs Joshua with words that echo Psalm 1. He was to read. He was to delight. He was to hear the law of the Lord. It wasn't to depart from his lips. And so you have the story of a leader who was to take God's people into the promised land, a new stage of life. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, the instructions for the king of God's people, is to take the law of God and write it on his heart. Look again at Psalm 1. It begins with a singular man. Blessed is the man. Notice how it ends. The congregation of the righteous. It begins with one man who is blessed. And the congregation of the righteous follow. This righteous king is the blessed man. And if you walk through Scripture and you try to see, where is this blessed man? In whom is this one found? Was it David? Maybe. But we know that David failed. And the answer we don't find until we get to the New Testament, where we read the stories of a man who came from Nazareth, who did not walk or stand or sit in the way of the rootless and fruitless chaff, but instead whose delight was in the law of the Lord, who delighted in the will of his Father, the one in whom the law was within his heart, the one who delighted and fulfilled the law of the Lord. In other words, in Scripture, we find that this psalm is fulfilled and ultimately speaks about Christ. That Christ came, as he says in John, to do the will of the Father. That Christ was the one who fulfilled the law. More so than that, that Christ was the one who delighted in the will of the Father. And here's where we need to be careful, because where do we find that blessed man? We find that blessed man on the cross. Sometimes when we think of this blessed man of doing everything the right way, it means that we will always prosper in everything that comes our way. But the blessed man, Jesus Christ, had everything taken away from him. As Paul says, the blessed man humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Why? Because his way of life is not simply to set an example, but instead the blessed man resolved the greatest problem that we have, which is to be reconciled to our Father. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The way of the tree leads to the man on the tree. This is not just simply the blessed man as our example. This is the man on the tree through whom we have the forgiveness of sins. And why does that matter? Once you see that this psalm is fulfilled in Christ, when you look at the law of God, when you look at the Word of God, it's no longer drudgery, it's no longer despair, it's actually a delight. Because you see in Jesus Christ the law of God fulfilled, you see his heart, you see the law of God reflecting the character of a gentle, of a lowly, of a holy, of a just, of a merciful Savior. Not only is it no longer something to despair in, it's no longer drudgery. Because you see his story, you see his grace, you see the man on the tree, that the natural and the godly response is now to respond in gratitude. It's in Christ we see the Word of God, the law of God, the commandments of God, not drudgingly and not in despair, but actually as a delight, because they reflect the character of Christ himself. And not only that, when we see this psalm fulfilled in Jesus Christ, we see how it is different from every other way. Every other way makes you the center. Every other way says you have to decide what is your happiness. You choose your own meaning in life. The way of Psalm 1 reveals it is Christ. That Christ is the center. And why does that matter? What happens if you fail every other way? They cancel you. If you fail the way of Christ, he cancels your debt on the cross. They can't do that because they cannot reconcile you to the Father. And our response is faith in him. If you notice in verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. The better translation of planted is transplant. And when something is transplanted, it's taken from one area to another. And as Paul tells us, we are transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It is by faith in the blessed man that we are transplanted, that we abide, that we are connected to the vine. So God reveals that the way of happiness, that way of blessedness, that way of flourishing is obedience to his law and delighting in his way. And that can only be done by faith in Christ, who is himself the blessed man. I am the vine, he says, and you are the branches, so abide in me. So what does this psalm mean to us then? How is it, as it is fulfilled in Christ, how now are we to live? Two things I want you to consider. Number one, as we abide in Christ, we meditate on the law of the Lord, that we incessantly hide the Word of God in our heart, that we press it firmly into our life. That we meditate on his forgiveness. We meditate on his saving grace. We remember, we meditate on all the promises that are a yes and amen in Jesus Christ. The 17th century, Thomas Watson writes this: a Christian without meditation is like a soldier without arms, or a workman without tools. Without meditation, the truths of God will not stay with us because the heart is hard and the memory slippery. Meditate. Meditate on the law of the Lord. Meditate on the heart of your Savior. Meditate on the stories of all the saints that are written for us and for our example. Be a church that drinks deeply from the waters of Scripture. Secondly, trust. In verse 6, we are told that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. What does that mean, that the Lord knows the way of the righteous? In his commentary and on this particular verse, John Calvin wrote this. According to all outward appearance, the servants of God may derive no advantage from their uprightness. But let us, in circumstances of distress, have ever before our eyes the providence of God, to whom it belongs to settle the affairs of the world and to bring order out of confusion. God knows, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Does not mean, as Calvinist said, that therefore everything will always go your way. No. Instead, as Calvin points out, it means to God's people that God is not indifferent. It is the assurance that God is not indifferent to those who are united to His Son by faith. It means to remember that even through the difficulties, that Jesus does not lose His own. It means the assurance that God orders all things to their good and their right end. It means the assurance that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And that means to persevere. There is nothing in this psalm about instant holiness. Instead, this is a psalm of perseverance and growth through trials. When Satan accuses you, and he will, this is a psalm that leads you to turn back to the blessed man, Jesus Christ, for the assurance of your forgiveness. When the sinful flesh wages war against your soul, it means that you trust in the living waters for strength. And when the fallen world brings you no prosperity, even though you attend to the Lord's instruction, you trust in His provision to give you all that you need. There are two ways of living: the way of the tree and the way of the chaff. And this psalm is written for God's people to lead us to the man who is on the tree, who died for your sins and is raised for your justification, in whom all of the promises of God are a yes and an amen. This psalm is about Him. So delight in Him. Delight in Him by hiding His word in your heart, and by trusting in His faithfulness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Spirit would take this word to plant it deep within our hearts, that You would bring forth in us the fruit of godliness to the glory of Your name. Amen.